Good morning. I am so thankful to be here. This is such an amazing time for me. I love this church. I love this congregation. I love the way that the Holy Spirit just flows throughout the service. I sit in amazement every day of God's handiwork. And I don't know if you've ever sat back and just basked in his intricate works of all the tiny little aspects of life. And from the words that are spoken, the songs that are sung, it's like, God, you knew those were going to be done and what you gave me for today. So the way that it intertwines together, it amazes me every single time. And I don't know why. I guess it's not an amazement like I didn't think it was going to happen, but it's an amazement because God is God and he just, we're known and loved by him. I am... So I just, Lord, I want to lift this time to you. Just remove me from all that is standing here, Lord God. May your words come true and out the way that you want it to be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, my redeemer. And I just commit this time to you in your precious son's name. Amen. So many of you know me for my service that I have at Family Resource Center of Zion. And of my unplanned pregnancy and my testimony and that I've shared here before. Some of you and many of you might not know that my actual education is a degree in humanities with a specialization in early childhood. And with that, I spent 35 years in the preschool classroom and as a director in different centers and mostly, by God's grace, in faith-based centers. So I've been able to share the gospel through that and then through here. Well, in that time, those 35 years that I had in the classroom, I was able to relate to, enjoy, and study many, many books of children's literature. And there was one book that stood out today that some of you may know. It's called Horton Hears a Who. And I'm going to try this handy-dandy little thing here and see if I can do this. Point where? There. I'm pointing there. See, you're going to have to help me out today. It's on, unless it was already on. I think I'm... Okay, we're going to start one more time, and we're going to try this. All right, I'm not going to worry about it. So if you hit, it went. Okay, so we went back. There we are. Horton Hears a Who. Now we went way, way back. Hold on. There we go. Okay, now we're good. Okay, Horton Hears a Who. Some of you may have read it to your children. Some of you may have read it to your grandchildren. It is a story from Dr. Seuss about Horton the elephant. And there's one phrase in there that Horton says, a person's a person, no matter how small. And if you don't know the story, this is Horton, the elephant, and he finds this tiny speck of dust. And in that speck of dust, there are Whos that live in the town of Whoville. And Horton has taken it upon himself that he is going to save them from their deadly fate. And Mama Kangaroo decides that Horton's insane because she can't see them or hear them. And so she goes around and she tells everybody that Horton is insane and that he's crazy and just really demeaned him and mocked him in all different ways. And Horton decides that no matter what, he is going to protect his new friends because even though you can't see them and even though you can't hear them, a person's a person, no matter how small. And so there's a little town in Whoville. So it's a really simple little story that we share with our preschool children. That a person's a person no matter what, no matter where they live, no matter what they look like, no matter if they resemble us or have things in common with us. It teaches us, first of all, that a person's a person, that every life is to be valued. But then the story goes on to a second thing that says we big people need to take care of those little people that are there, no matter how small. So it's a simple preschool lesson that's pretty easy to understand, but we as a society, we don't really follow it very well, do we? The world says that unborn children, some of them are disposable. They say that some are deserving a life and others are not. That they might be disposable because they were a mistake or because they have a physical disability. Maybe because they're a girl instead of a boy. Or even, well, their parents might have unfortunate circumstances, and therefore that child is not valued, and that child does not deserve life. But we know that a person's a person. And as was mentioned earlier, we revisit this every year, thankfully, to Ronald Reagan, who in 84 claimed this Sunday the Sanctity of Life Day. And so each year we revisit that. And it can get dull, it can get boring. And yes, we're saying the same things over and over. But as we shared today, as Marcia shared, it's beyond that. And so as we visit this question once again today, what does it mean, sanctity of life? We go back to Genesis. And you know what? I'm not going to worry about slides because then it's just... In Genesis 1, 26 through 27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth, over everything creeping and things that creep on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And human life is inherently sacred. It has attribute that it should be protected and respected at all times. God miraculously created men and women in his image, and therefore we are blessed in a very awe-inspiring way. But I want to be sure that we catch that phrase that we were created in his image. And as I was trying to get a better picture of what, how to explain in his image, what that looks like, the best thing I came up with is my own children. As I look at my own children, none of them are identical to me, but each one of them has different attributes of me. And maybe their smile or their quirky nature, or for those that have adopted children or stepchildren, maybe they pick up your mannerisms or a saying or something that you say. And those kind of things bring pride in us. They make us feel good. Sometimes we say, I wish they didn't act so much like me in a certain way, but they bring that pride because that's who we are. And that's how I like to see how God is. We're created in his image. So we bring him joy because we're created in the image of God. And there's no other part of creation that can match the joy that we bring to God as human beings. So when we look back in Genesis, it says that God created man, male and female, in his own image. And I don't see any exceptions here, do you? It doesn't say, well, God created normal, perfect, wanted, healthy children. It doesn't say those that have Down syndrome or special needs don't really fit into that category as in the image of God. Or it doesn't say that a specific race or amounts of money or a stable home life, none of those are prerequisites to be being created in the image of God. It just says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So that means that every life matters, because every life was created in the image of God. And no matter how big or how small, a person is a person. And though humanity was created in God's image, our sin corrupted that. And there's nothing inherently sacred about a fallen man. The sanctity of human life is not due to the fact that we are good or due to the fact that we do good things. It is solely for the purpose that God set us apart from all the other parts of creation. And we are like God, and in his likeness, that means that we are always to be treated with dignity and respect. So in the fall and winter of 1987, I was pregnant with my daughter, Alicia, that I've shared here before, and my sister-in-law, the wedding that I just went to yesterday, she was pregnant with her son, TJ. Two babies, very different circumstances, and very different ways that they were being brought into the world. See, my brother and my sister-in-law had been planning and praying for their child, and the baby was going to come home to a well-laid-out nursery, and the world would probably deem it a wanted child, that that child had value because that child was coming into a stable, wonderful home. My child, on the other end, was coming to me that I was 21 years old, hadn't even finished college yet. Her birth father was out of the picture. When she was born, I didn't own a home. I didn't have an apartment. I had a job, but people would deem her probably as that one to throw away because, you know, her life wasn't going to be that great when she came into it. And had it been not by the grace of God, that's exactly what would have happened. But I firmly believe that God was protecting Alicia right there in the womb, as we talk about it later, just that he knew us when we were created. So I guess I do have to go back to this because I have two sonograms. Okay, these two sonograms, as you look at them, can you tell which one of these were a planned pregnancy? Or which one was unplanned? Can you tell which one of these has the nursery at home and the stable home life? And we can't. We can't. Those outside influences don't change what God created. And even though we can't tell their skin tone, their eye color, or their texture, it doesn't really matter. What we can tell is that they're both created in the image of God. We can tell that they are loved. We can tell that they are life. And we don't need a sonogram picture to tell us that. In Psalm 139:13, here's where it says, David, who is inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote, "For I formed you in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's wombs. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." So even before we were formed, before we even had the structure or shape of a baby, God knew that and created us. So what does sanctity of life mean? Exactly what that psalm just said to us, that God is a creator, miraculously knit us into our mother's womb despite any outside circumstances. Though we are physically different, our situations are different, our environments are different, our finances are different, our health might be different, we are all created in the image of God, and therefore we are sacred compared to the rest of creation. And I don't want you to misunderstand and say that we are holy in the sense that God is holy, because only God is holy in and of himself. But again, this only means that we are holy because we're set apart. We're set apart from the rest of creation. And beyond that, there's more good news, that every unborn child is loved by God so much that before their conception, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for them, to conquer death, to raise from the dead for them, and is right now seated at the right hand of the Father so that we might be saved. We are more than the mistakes of our parents. We're more than our own sum of our total mistakes and sin. And with that sin, while God gave humanity the authority to kill and eat other forms, it says in Genesis 9:3, everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I will now give you everything. It also says about the murdering of human life that it is expressly forbidden, and with the penalty of death. In Genesis 9:6, it says, "Whoever sheds human blood, by human shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God was made mankind." And in saying that, the statistics are telling us now that over 4,000 babies are aborted in the United States every day. 4,000 babies. And that's not limited to 4,000 babies. That's 4,000 mothers who have experienced that loss and gone through that abortion, that suffer afterwards and secretly hide that loss and shame and the pain over the course sometimes of many years. And if abortion is a part of your past mistakes, please know that you're created in God's image. The Bible told us that you are fearfully and wonderfully made long before you were created in your mother's womb, that God sent his son for you or me to die for you, to be your savior. Don't let the abortion define who you are. Here's the simple part about it. All you have to do is lay it down. Lay it down. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then try desperately to follow him for the rest of your days. We as Christians have a duty to testify that every life was made in the image of God. And I'm sure all of that that I brought forth from the beginning, everyone sitting here can say, yep, I agree with that. There was no question of whether a life is a life. But now we have to step up and say that every life is precious, every life is beautiful, and that every life matters. We're blessed to belong to a church that the leaders testify to the sanctity of life, because not all churches, even Christian churches, not all churches believe that. Back in 2017, down in Fort Worth, Texas, at a pro-abortion prayer event, one of its organizers, who's a minister, said to the local paper, "Women seeking an abortion are largely women of faith. They are not having an abortion in spite of their faith. It's in many ways just informing the decision that they make because they have the God-given right to make decisions about their life." Another minister who is affiliated with the Evangelical Lutheran Church told the National Public Radio show that because Genesis tells us that life starts with breath, that abortion can then be viewed as acceptable. Imagine how those who don't know about salvation, those that don't know what the Bible says or the truth, are looking at these leaders in Christianity, and imagine the confusion that they have over this pro-life issue. That's why our witness matters. That's why our voice on the subject of abortion matters. It matters to the babies that have been deemed disposable. It matters to those moms who have suffered through abortion. It matters to those dads who have lost their child. And it matters to our world that is so broken and in need of hope. Simple message. That's what I started out with, that because we're created in God's womb, that a person's a person no matter what. Many apply this to the sanctity of life just to the part of abortion, and that's kind of what Marcia talked about today as well. And it's not just abortion, and it's not just euthanasia. The sanctity of life should motivate us to combat all forms of evil and injustice against life that's perpetuated against human life, like violence, abuse, human trafficking, along with euthanasia, and other violations of life. And beyond just acknowledging the sanctity of life, of us knowing that life is sacred, there's an argument that goes a step farther that challenges us to what God wants. In Matthew 22:37-39, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So these commandments, we see that our actions are motivated by love. Love for God and love for others. So if we love God, then we will submit ourselves to do his will, whatever that is in our lives. And if we love and care for his people, that means that we're going to make allowances for their faults. We're going to forgive anyone who forgives you, that offends you. And above all, we must clothe ourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect unity. We'll protect the unborn and stand in the fight to encourage their moms. We'll protect others from harm, whether it be from abortion, euthanasia, human trafficking, or other abuses. While the sanctity of human life can be the foundation, love must be the motivation. So we can stand on the foundation of the sanctity of life, but we can't just stand there. We have to have a motivation. We have to take that love out into our communities. And that's where we stand at the Family Resource Center of Zion, that each heart has to be turned towards God through the love of Jesus Christ. We must reach out to our church, through the churches, to the community, and I say this every time I'm up here, that that's church with a capital C. We can't be defined by the four walls that are standing here. And I come from a church where those four walls don't define, and I'm standing in a church where those four walls don't define. And so we've got to stand up, and we've got to start knocking down that stereotypical Christianity that people think of the holy in the house type thing. And we've got to start stepping out and reaching out to the community and meeting these people where they're at and loving them where they're at and bringing them back to God where they're needed. And I know that the people sitting in these chairs today, you're supporting us. You're supporting us financially. You're supporting us in prayer. You're supporting us in material assistance. You're supporting us in so many other ways. But as you're sitting here today, I'm wondering if God is starting to call you. Each year, like Pastor Roger said, I've been here a few years, and I know that for myself, it took 4 years for me to step up. But you get that stirring, that little stirring that's like, oh, I really need to get more involved in doing something here. I know that I need to do that. And then you hear, well, I really don't have a whole lot of time. And then you get that urge, I really feel that God's calling me to do something. Well, I'm sure there's somebody that's more experienced than I am. But I really need to do something. I really feel convicted. God is calling me today. I'm going to do something. Well, they've got enough people. They don't need me to do a part of that. Well, that stirring that you're feeling inside you, that's the Holy Spirit calling you. And all those excuses that are piling up on top of that, that's the devil, in fear of the change that you're going to make for the cause for Christ. In 2019, Family Resource Center of Zion supplied 92 families, making up for 406 visits. We supplied 28 hats for the cold weather, 118 containers of food, 588 articles of clothing from the boutique, and almost 4,000 diapers. Now, along with all those supplies that came from our house through you, we also connect with an agency called Twice as Nice, and through that agency, our clients have gotten 100 extra diapers a month, and they've gotten clothes for the siblings that are too large for what we carry in our center. And far beyond all that material things that we've been able to get out into the community, we had over 312 spiritual discussions, leading to over 20 rededications to Christ and new believers. That's why we're there, those parts. God has made it clear that we are moving forward. And as we've prayed, many hours this year have gone into where do we go next? Where do we step out next as the resource center? And many hours have been put into praying and researching. And as we shared at our banquet, last October, God is leading us into beginning an ultrasound program. When that's going to be, that's in God's hands. We're still waiting on Him, taking step by step, faithfully, how He wants it to be, and guiding and directing. And I wanted to just share, as we were sharing earlier, about just how horrific it has gotten in the world around us today. In 2006, there were, I'm looking at my proposal for the ultrasound program, and the number of the increase of abortions in Lake County rose over 14%. Now, here's the kicker. From 2006 to 2017, it rose over 14%. But here's the kicker. There's not one abortion clinic in Lake County. So our families are leaving Lake County to go have these abortions. And we just continue to increase. We need to start reaching people where they're at. And then also in that time, that 2006 to 2017, every single state around the state of Illinois has tightened their abortion laws. Illinois has thrown theirs out the window. Literally, a child can be aborted up to the day of their birth. We have got to stand up and start catching these moms that are in their panic mode before they're headed towards Planned Parenthood or the abortion clinic, or even before they head to the health department for their tests. Because where else are they going to learn the truth? Where else are they going to learn what God has in store for them? So with the ultrasound program, there's two stories that I have to share because I'm a God person. As I said at the beginning, you know, God sightings all the time, these things. There's two that started the same day back in July of last year. We have monthly board meetings, and I just sit in on them as center director, not a voting person in there. And the board had gone through all of their work and what they were doing for that day. And Pastor Mike McDowell, who is one of the board members, just what seemed like out of the clear blue sky, but I know it was God. He says, I have somebody who is looking to donate $15,000 towards an ultrasound machine. We hadn't discussed an ultrasound program. We hadn't done everything. And the moment he said those words, two names came into my head. They were two names. One is a person I knew well, and the other person was somebody that I knew who it was, but I've never really met them personally. And let's fast forward to where we sit today. So that person that was going to give us $15,000 towards an ultrasound machine gave us $20,000. And those two people, the first person was Dr. Dennis McCreary, who was my doctor, and that's how I kind of knew who he was. He has signed on to be our medical supervisor for the ultrasound program. And the second person, Miss Margie Trainer, she is the one that I hardly even knew. I walked up to her one Sunday just with the Holy Spirit guiding and directing me as she walked out of the sanctuary at church, and I said, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what this has done. All I know is God's telling me that I need to ask you about an ultrasound program at Family Resource Center of Zion. Her mouth flew open, and she stood there for a minute, and she said, I was just praying as I walked out of service, Lord, what am I supposed to do next? But God. So she is walking us through this whole journey that we're going on, talking to the doctors, talking to CareNet, talking to all the legalistic parts of it, the logistics, all those kind of things, and looking to join us there. So if you know either one of those two people, ask them their side of the story, because both of them, it was completely God-led on their ends of it. And as we move into this new decade, we're 10 years old this year, which is pretty exciting. I have a question for each one of you. Inside your bulletin, there is a blue piece of paper. And on that blue piece of paper, it's asking you, how are you going to get more involved in the Family Resource Center of Zion by the end of 2020? And that may be as simple as word of mouth advertising. Whenever you're in your circle of friends, circles at work, talking about the services that we have, bring up the fact of sanctity of life, of how life is valued. Talk about those things, because the only way that we're going to get the word out about life being important is by talking about it. Take some business cards before you go. Hand them to somebody that you think might need the services there. Word of mouth is our key advertisement, whether it be in person or even like us on Facebook. That's a big thing. Share. When we put something out there, share. Join the group on Facebook, the FRCZ family, and get the information and updates, knowing what's going on and what's needed that you can pass out to your friends. There are other things that take up a little bit of time, but not as much as you might think. As you look at the list here, there's volunteer in the boutique. That can be as committed as you want to be. I just got a brand new volunteer that decided that diaper packaging is her gift. And that's what she's going to do once a week. She's coming in for a half an hour once a week to package the diapers for the girls to get their diapers. I have volunteers that come in once a month in the boutique for an hour that put clothes, match clothes together, or organize, or maybe help sort of move from winter to summer, those kind of things. We have two volunteers in the boutique right now that come twice a month and just sort clothes. They keep the best of the best so that our clients are getting the best of the best. Peer advocate. This is kind of scary, but it's not really. If you talk to people for a living, that's all a peer advocate is. It's somebody that you're sitting listening to someone while they're sharing with their struggles in life. The time-consuming part of that is the training. It's an 8-week training course that's about 2 hours a week. And when you get through that training, you commit. You commit either to once every other week for an hour, so that's 2 hours a month, or 4 hours a month, However you decide you want to work that. Ultrasound technicians. This is a volunteer's position as well. The prerequisite to that is that you're an RN, but Family Resource Center will be supplying the training for you and pay for that. The nurse manager, we've got one application in for a nurse manager. If that heart is being stirred, that this is where God wants you to be, both the ultrasound techs and the nurse manager, it's not a lot of hours a week. The combined ultrasound techs is 14 hours. And that will depend for each one, it'll depend how many techs we have as to how many hours each one has to serve. It could be maybe just an hour a week that they have to do. Maybe you want to organize a Making Life Disciples class. I know those have been held here prior to. Maybe you want to have one of those in your small group. You can ask me about that. Maybe you want to help us at our Walk for Life at the planning committee, just once a year, a couple hours for one meeting to be able to help or go and help solicit donors and things like that for our prizes for our walkers. Same with the banquet. We met one time for our banquet planning committee. Most of the stuff is laid out, but if that's something you're interested in with the decorations or maybe to plan this big 10-year celebration that we're having, that would be awesome. Organizing the center. I can't tell you how wonderful it is when I have people just come in to go through brochures and organize those kind of things. It may seem the littlest menial tasks that you might think, oh, that's no big deal. For us, it's a really big deal. Because it takes away from what Esmeralda and I have to do along with meeting with our clients and all those kind of things. Let's see where I am now. Oh, this is the best part. Two things. Not the best part yet. This is there. I've got some of these little flyers. Many of you belong to the FI. That's not in your bulletin. That's out on my table out there. This is for the ultrasound program. We're trying to get a feel of our family, of our FRCZ family, of where you stand. And we sent out an email that has our full proposal for, which the proposal has information on finances, information on the demographics, information on all the reasons why we feel that we need to have an ultrasound program. I have a few copies of these on the table to look at. But these surveys are over there, and it's just kind of getting a feel from our family. Is this something that you feel is good? Is this something that you're going to get behind and help back us through it? Because we don't want to go and purchase anything until we feel that God has confirmed that this is where we're supposed to be. So that was that part of it. And then the bottom part, the best part, is the question that I'm going to ask you to pray. In all of this and all that information that I've given you, I'm asking you to pray one thing. I'm asking you to pray God's will. Ask him, Lord, is this just me that wants to get one more thing on my calendar because I don't have enough to do? Or Lord, is this you that's burdening my heart to do what you want me to do? And in that, pray the prayer that I prayed 3.5 years ago now, the day that I was fired from my job that I loved so desperately, just to prepare for the journey that I'm on right now. I prayed, Lord, you know I'm comfortable where I'm at, but let it be your will, not my will, that leads my life. And here I stand, and I am so grateful for that. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for each and every one of the people sitting in these chairs. I thank you for the music that you've brought forth today. I thank you for the word that you've brought forth. I thank you for each and every aspect of how this church just is a true vision of how the sanctity of life should be preserved, that they stand up for who you are. They stand up for each and every life, and I thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you will stir in their hearts to be convicted, to come before you, to do the things that you want them to do, to be a part of the Family Resource Center, Lord God. But beyond being a part of who we are, being a part of your kingdom growers, being a part of leading people to Christ through the unplanned pregnancies, through the need of parenting classes, through the need of material assistance, Lord, you are God, and we are people. No matter how small, we know a person is a person. And we praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, for all of it, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. And in all of this, we pray it in your name. Amen.